Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. Of course, as you know, he's Dan the Man, and, well, I'm the guy who decided it would be a fantastic idea to have cake for breakfast, and I've been paying for it ever since. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so hopefully you made it over there yesterday to check out what was going on with the new blog that went up. If not, hey, head on over there now. It's still right there on the top of the page for you. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link itself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, all right. Well, Dan, it looks like we're actually going to get to have a baseball game tonight. So we shall see how that goes. You do never quite know with the weather and everything that's going on, but they're going to attempt to play. So we have, kind of pretty much what we talked about yesterday. I mean, it's basically game one all over again. We're going to get Zach Greinke for the Astros and, you know, Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees. I've heard a lot of people saying that this is kind of a must win for the Yankees. Are you in that ballpark, or are you okay if they go down 3-1 headed back to Houston? Or actually, no, they stay in New York on Friday. They go one more game in New York before they go back to Houston. So how would you feel about that?
I feel like I'm having deja vu.
You are. All over again.
I know. Is it Wednesday again?
It could be. With the way my week's going, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a must-win, but it's a definite. You know, you definitely don't want to go into Friday down 3-1.
Yeah, I don't think you'd really want to go into any series down 3-1. It just seemed kind of odd. Now, are you, expecting a similar game to game one? You know, Tanaka did a nice job of shutting down the Astros. I don't believe they scored off them. You know, Greinke wasn't terrible. He did give up three runs. Are you seeing a similar situation, or what do you kind of see tonight? I mean, obviously, I know what you're hoping for because you're rooting for the Yankees here. But what do you kind of see?
I'm hoping for six innings out of him, 12 strikeouts, one walk, and three hits. And the Yankees, you know, Greinke with five home runs given up. No, I mean, I still think it's going to be a pitcher's duel. But I think the other side of it with these two is you could get a complete blow-up on either end where you might see either one of these two out by the third inning.
All right, well, here's the lineups that the teams are running out. I don't know how similar these are to game one or not. I'm believing the Yankees might be different because I thought Stanton was in their game one lineup. But anyways, the Astros are the visitors. We'll start there. It's George Springer in center leading off. Jose Altuve bats second and plays second. Michael Brantley hits third in left field. Alec Bregman's fourth at third base. Yuri Gurriel is fifth at first base. Yordan Alvarez hits sixth. He's the DH. Carlos Correa hits seventh at shortstop. Robinson Chirinos hits eighth in catches. And Josh Reddick hits ninth and he will play right field. The Yankees are going with DJ LeMahieu leading off at first base. Aaron Judge hits second in right field. Aaron Hicks is in center tonight playing and batting third. Gleyber Torres is the cleanup hitter at second. Edwin Encarnacion hits fifth. He's their DH. Brett Gardner hits sixth in left field. Gary Sanchez hits seventh. He'll do the catching. Giovanni Urshela hits eighth at first base. And your guy Didi, Dan, all the way down to the nine hole. And he will play shortstop tonight. So it does look like the Yankees shuffled their lineup a little bit. The Astros, not so much. You like these Yankee moves? Well, I guess I'll wait till Dan gets back in before I ask him if I like the Yankee moves. So we can dance and sing about whatever else we want to right now. You got anything on your mind? I guess I'm not really surprised with the Astros. You know, I'm not a big fan of the bottom of their lineup, but there's not a whole lot they can do about it right now. Maybe a Kyle Tucker appearance in right field over Josh Reddick could be something that I wouldn't mind seeing or I would like to see. But to be honest with you, I don't even know if he's on the if he is on the ALCS roster. I would be surprised if he's not. So we'll have to see how that goes. But I I know Reddick homered the other day. I get it. But he's hitting 50. Does it? Is it really? Of course, I guess how are the Astros hitting? I don't even know. Let's take a look here. Let's sort some batting averages. They got about – well, no, that's Aaron Judge. That doesn't do me any good. Looks like they have Jose Altuve hitting. How are they winning this series? They're terrible. So, all right, there we go. Dan is back. We can hunt him back in here. So I was saying, Dan, what did you think of the Yankee lineup tonight with the switches and changes made?
I'm trying to pull it back up. My phone shut off.
So, well, obviously the big one is the fact that, your guy Didi's been dropped to the nine hole. So.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he'll bounce back because I did pick him to be the World Series MVP.
Oh, boy. So, well, hopefully he will get rolling for you. So, to be fair, hey, at least he's hitting better than Gary Sanchez, and he's hitting the same as Edwin Encarnacion. So, just having his scuffles a little bit, and that'll happen. So maybe that's the thing that gets him going. You get him down to the bottom of the order, he can relax a little bit, and he'll take off here. And I did find the funniest thing I heard today, Dan. I actually heard this on two different shows. For whatever reason, apparently nobody can seem to figure out what's wrong with Yordano Alvarez or Yordano Alvarez of the Astros, the guy that they gave Rookie of the Year to after he played about 20 games. He's actually 0-10 in this series right now with six strikeouts. He has walked a couple times, so he's managed to find his way on base. Dan, this is one of those things that's kind of plain and simple. I know exactly what happened to him. They've got a book on it now. So they know where to pitch him and how to throw him, and in return it's his turn to adjust. And until he does that, he's going to struggle. And I don't know why these guys are so surprised like this when this happens to a player. Every rookie goes through this. You come in, you get a little hot, they adjust to you, and now it's your turn to adjust to them. Maybe they just should have been smarter, Dan, and not prematurely giving him the Rookie of the Year award before we actually got to see him play a little.
Well, did he need to play? Shouldn't he just give it to a guy because Jonathan Mayo's, projected him to be the best?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much how it went. They were just so not giving him this. Oh, yeah, hey, here you go. Well, here's your Rookie of the Year. who, what, he's, huh? So, you know, and I mean, you know, to be fair, I believe he ended up with a pretty fair rookie season. Let me see if I can hunt him down here real quick. If he wants to cooperate, here we go. Yeah, you know, he did hit 313 with 27 home runs and 78 RBIs. You know, it was over 87 games, so you wonder if, you know, if he would have played a little more, or possibly the league would have caught up with him during the regular season. So, you know, and I mean, you know, he didn't lead the AL season home runs or RBI. That was Eloy Jimenez. But you haven't heard his name mentioned in I don't know how long of the year, even though he had a really solid year. So, you know, they had decided it was Alvarez's award no matter what, and they were damn well going to make sure he got it. So,
I mean, he did have pretty solid numbers for 313 at bats, which is, you know, roughly half of what you're expecting, but you can't tell me that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's tough looking at guys who, you know, there are guys in front of him who got a lot more at bats. I mean, obviously Jimenez, Vlad Jr., Oscar Mercado, you know, and while Guerrero and Mercado didn't have the power numbers, you know, there's other aspects of their game that is better than Alvarez's. You know, you got to realize we're talking about a guy who more or less is just a DH. He doesn't play defense, where, you know, all these guys play defense. And I don't think his year was that much better than theirs to where he's just the runaway winner like they're talking he should be. You know, I mean, I fully expect him to win the award because, you know, the MLB Network gave it to him, like I said, literally a month into his career. He was the rookie of the year. It's kind of like when you have, you know, MVP voting and Mike Trout wins it 2 weeks into the season and that's all we talk about. So, but yeah, I definitely think there are guys who probably deserve the award more than he does. I just don't think they're going to get the respect because they're hung up on what this guy did and how it went, and we're going to have to eat it.
I mean, doesn't it make a difference now that he's, you know, not just up against anybody, he's up against, you know, the best team this year?
Yeah, well, you know that, and I mean, you have to wonder, you know, you're at an elite level now. You know, I mean, you're not facing, you know, the jabron who just got called up from AAA who's hanging on by a thread. You know, you're not going 4-for-5 against him with 3 bombs and, you know, 8 RBIs because he's not there. You know, you're going up against quality, not only starting pitching, but relief pitching as well. So, you know, these kind of things happen to these guys, sadly, all the time. So, you know, like I said, we'll see if he can make an adjustment and, you know, maybe contribute a little. But, yeah, as of right now, I mean, he's not contributing to this team at all. And you almost wonder if maybe a day off is necessary since they're playing all these games in a row.
Which is strange coming from you because you don't believe in days off.
No, well, like I'm wondering if maybe, because, you know, I'm guessing that the Yankees are going to go with Paxton tomorrow. I didn't look to see. But maybe against a lefty like that, you spell him. You know, you find a right-handed bat to plug in there for, you know, just one game and let him kind of get a look at what's going on. And, you know, sometimes that helps a guy if they can just kind of watch. So, we'll see what they decide to do. But, yeah, I just thought it was hilarious that they couldn't figure out why he was struggling. And I'm like, really, you guys get paid to do this? Are you that stupid? So.
Well, no, they don't actually watch the game.
Yeah. I think he's the only – Yeah, well, besides Chirinos, who has 7 at-bats, which I can't say surprises me, he's the only guy with, like, multiple at-bats that haven't seen his way to get a hit yet. I know the Yankees had a couple of guys, too, who were scuffling. Oh, no, it's just Aaron Hicks who doesn't have a hit. So, sadly, Didi and Edwin Encarnacion and Gary Sanchez are the other guy who only have 1. But at least they found a way to get on base somehow. But, we will see if that changes as we, move along here for the game. I believe it's a 7-10 start or whatever they're calling it. So we'll see what time the game actually gets rolling. And I didn't bother to look at the weather. I assume they'll find a way to get this in where they're going. Could you imagine another rain out? The Nationals will be sitting around until November waiting to start the World Series.
A little bit like the Warriors.
Yeah. But we shall see. So you got a – are you predicting a Yankee win tonight?
Oh, yeah. I still think they're going to take it over.
You got it all set. They're gonna lock it down and even up the series before they have to go against Verlander and Cole again.
Yep.
So. So we shall. We shall see how it works out. But yeah, that's. That's all the fun stuff there. Dan, I know we talked about this yesterday, and I'm still kind of baffled by this because it seems like this story has just gotten its own legs and has just now taken off. After the Joe Maddon hiring, I kind of mentioned to you that the Angels were, appeared to be the favorite in signing Gerrit Cole. Well, today, Dan, it got even worse than that. Now they are the overwhelming favorite to sign Gerrit Cole, and this is according to Ken Rosenthal. So, and it's so weird, Dan, because they keep saying, it's because he has ties to Southern California. And are the Angels the only team in Southern California, Dan?
yeah, they are the only National League team. They're not two of them.
Isn't San Francisco, right? San Diego is a bit farther south than where the Angels play, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So.
They're considered north because they're north of Mexico.
But, yeah, and it's just so weird because, even in the article here, they're like, the Maddon hiring certainly makes the Angels more appealing. Really? That has anything to do with where a guy's going to sign? But looking here, they give Joe Maddon all the credit for John Lester joining the Cubs. I guess they completely forgot that he used to be a Red Sox, and Theo Epstein used to be the Red Sox general manager, so they had a relationship going into the offseason. But I guess it was just all Joe Maddon who got John Lester to come in and sign his deal. Dan, help me out here. Am I the moron? Really? If I – tell me.
I mean, David Ross had nothing to do with it either.
I keep reading these things, Dan, and I literally feel like a complete idiot Because, you know, I'm looking at these reasonings. Well, he has moved to Southern California, or they hired Joe Maddon. Do you honestly think it's going to change his mind if the Yankees go, hey, we're going to give you 7 years and $350 million? Do you think it's going to have an effect on where he plays?
Sarcastically, no. I mean, he's gone because Joe's there. And they're
right.
Going to win a World Series in 2021.
You know, I'm going to go to the team that has the best player in baseball and still has somehow only found a way to manage to make one postseason appearance with on the roster. And the sad part is even adding Garrett Cole doesn't make them a playoff team. You know, I'm not even sure if it makes them a wild card contender.
I was going to say, but I think you're forgetting that they have Shohei, who's going to come back and win the Cy Young and the MVP next year.
Right. You know, they were 73-89 last year. With Joe Maddon and the signing of Garrett Cole, does that even make them a 500 team?
Yeah, it could. If they get those, if he gets another 16 plus wins.
I mean, 81 and 81 isn't getting you into the playoffs.
No.
So, I get it that it's going to be difficult for the Astros to get Cole to come back, but you do have to wonder if maybe he'll give them a little bit of a hometown discount because he had a lot of success there. You know, I mean, he didn't have this kind of success in Pittsburgh. You know, if he was to stay there, they would, you know, even without him, they'll still be a contender next year. But if he was to stay there, they would probably be the favorite, you know, coming out of the gate. So, you know, you have to wonder if maybe, you know, he'll kind of, we'll have to see how it goes, but, you know, you never know. And, you know, like I said, the Yankees, of course, are going to throw in their money. I believe, Dan, isn't there another team in California that's been known to spend some big money on players that, you know, they went to two out of what's going to be the last three World Series? And Garrett Cole would look fantastic in the rotation between that young stud they had and that veteran guy who's still really good. What's the name of that team, Dan? I'm forgetting who they are.
Is it the NRA?
You know, that other Los Angeles. That other Los Angeles team. Damn it, what's their name?
The Raiders.
Oh, no, they're a Las Vegas team. So,
I think it would be the Dodgers, but.
The Dodgers, who've been known to spend frickin' money every now and then, and well, God, they're both in Los Angeles. Are the Angels farther south than the Dodgers? Do they play farther south, Dan, where that would matter?
I'm trying to find the difference, but you know, you bring up money. What about coming back? There's a team
up on me.
Phillies.
Right. You know, I mean, they were a team with stupid money, and interestingly, they're not even mentioned in this article. It's the Angels, the Astros, and the Yankees. And then they throw the Dodgers in late. But, yeah, there's no mention of the Phillies or, anything else like that. So, apparently, he's staying in Houston or he's going to the West Coast. That's if all said and done.
Yeah,
you know, and while I don't think he would take the offer, don't forget that the White Sox could probably hand him a pretty good contract, too, if he was interested.
Mm-hmm. Well, 30 miles south of Los Angeles.
Oh, see, there you go. Well, that does it. You know, I mean, it's over. Forget it. He's signing with the Angels. And, you know, of course, they have Joe Madden over Dave Roberts. So God forbid that, you know, he would go to a team that wins, you know, over a team that just is perpetually scuffling and, you know, can't seem to get their act right, even though they have the best player in baseball. So,
the best two players.
You know, actually they have the two best players in baseball because you mentioned Ohtani earlier. And he's the second best player in baseball. Even though he hasn't proved ever anything, he's the second best player in baseball.
He's proved he can get hurt.
Yes, he did. But yeah, here's what we're looking at here, Dan. You know, the Angels have Mike Trout signed till 2030. Don't forget that they still have two more years of Albert Pujols at $29 to $30 million. They have 3 years of Justin Upton, it goes 21 next year, 23, and then 28 in the last year. Andrelton Simmons has signed for a little over 15, and Zach Cozart has signed for a little under $13 million. And they have a $14 million option on Cole Calhoun that they have to figure out what they're going to do with it. You know, other than that, it's just they have a boatload of guys, you know, Justin Bour, Tommy La Stella, Andrew Heaney, basically all of their pitching staff is heading to arbitration. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. And even Shohei Ohtani is pre-arbitration next year, so he's not far off from jumping in that boat. But, yeah, I mean, looking at it, I mean, what's, you know, you throw Garrett Cole in this rotation and we're looking at, you know, Andrew Heaney, Shohei Ohtani, Garrett Cole, and what? A collection of
from bullpen days?
You know, yeah, I don't even know.
Is that the reason why they think Joe's going to do so well? Because he effectively manages bullpen days perfectly?
Yes. Yeah. You know, and, you know, like my guess is obviously they'll probably let Cole Calhoun go out of his option because their top prospect is an outfielder by the name of Joe Adell, who was probably ready to come up at the end of last year, but, you know, they don't want to start that arbitration clock. But, you know, you start looking, and, I mean, they have, and I'm not kidding you, Dan, one other – oh, no, they have two. I found a second one. They have two decently rated prospects in AAA. One of them is a pitcher named Jeremy Beasley, and the other one is another outfielder named Brendan Lunn. You know, other than that, I mean, their prospects are so far away that – I don't think, you know, you can't even legitimately rebuild or even, you know, maybe deal them for anything because they're just too far away. But, I we'll see. I mean, they obviously need to make some big – you know, big off-season acquisitions, not only Garrett Cole, but, you know, they probably need two starters, you know, because if you look at, like, the rotation they have pegged now is Andrew Heaney, Jaime Barrera, Patrick Sandoval, Jose Suarez, and Dylan Peters. So is, you know, even if Ohtani is healthy and you plug him in, then you plug Garrett Cole in, and you're going, you know, so your rotation is Cole, Ohtani, Heaney, Barrera, and Sandoval. You know, A, how healthy, you know, well, you know the perils of sticking Andrew Heaney in fantasy. You just never know how healthy he's going to be. And then other than that, you're plugging in two really young guys at 4 and 5.
Well, and I was going to say, how far, you know, how long do you have to wait before Barrera and Sandoval are ready to really push it full time? You know, and I'm not trying to make comparisons because you really can't compare. But, I mean, when you look at the development here of Lucas Giolito, it took a couple of years before the White Sox could really rely on him. So I'm not saying Barrera's on that level, but how many years before Barrera's really ready?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, we're talking about two guys who are 23 still. So there's a lot, you know, 23-year-olds don't come into the major leagues and genuinely dominate. I mean, obviously, there's been, especially a starter. You know, and like you said, then we get to the point of, do they have an inning limit? Do you only let them throw 100 innings, and what do you do after that?
100 innings or 100 pitches a game? I mean, and that...
Well, both.
That, yeah, well, and that's still one of the most ridiculous parts of this game today. You know, I'm not going to sit here and complain and be like, oh, the game today has changed so much. But, I mean, it has. And there's a lot of things that are good about the changes, but you know, the biggest downside.
You cut out right when you were going to say what the biggest downside is.
Oh, is the stupid pitch count. And, you know, the thing that I find funny is when you're watching any major league game now, especially when you get local commentator broadcasters that were former players, you know, not the guys who work for the majors all the time, the major network that is, but you get some guys that are pulled in for TBS, and they'll be the first ones that bring up why, where is it, why is it, and who determined that once a guy hits 100 pitches, no matter if he's in the fourth inning, well, I mean, sometimes in the early innings, you kind of start watching, but why is it that that mark determines that flat out the guy's got to come out? Doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been pitching, what you look like at that 100 pitch, you have to come out.
Yeah, well, you know, Dallas Braden doing A's games was the first guy I heard give a really good explanation on why the 100 pitch thing is incredibly stupid. You know, he mentioned that sometimes early in a game, you may not have found all your pitches, and you may be scuffling a little, so you may rack up a few extra pitches. But then, you know, come the fifth, sixth inning, when you're at 95 or so, you find it, and you're warm and you're ready to go, and then all of a sudden they want you out of the game because you're at 100 pitches, but you're at the best you've been.
Well, and, you know, the one thing we've talked about a million times is I think, well, I don't know what to think, actually, but I've been to enough games to know that the pitcher comes out before the game and he throws probably 100 pitches before the game even starts. Would you say, and not to mention the, 10, 15, sometimes 20 pitches between innings? So, but
I think they limited that to 10 now to make the game go faster. 10.
Yeah. So. But you know what I mean? It's like, so you're saying that those pitches don't count, but the 100 that are thrown during regulation makes such a difference that, you know, he's not going to be able to go past. You know, I think when the pitch count started, you know, that was something the pitching coach or the bench coach watched. And when you're the manager of the team, you know your guy. And you can tell all around 80, he might be like this. But if he's not, you know, it wasn't a determining factor for why a guy should be pulled.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's just, it's kind of funny, you know, and, like, I can understand, like, we used to do it when I was managing Little League, because obviously you don't want some, you know, 13, 14, 15-year-old kid out there throwing 150 pitches. But, you know, these are in-shape grown men who have trained for it. You know, if they go to, you know, even 120 or 125, they should be okay. You know, and I know Steve Stone is always the one who points out it's kind of the stress level. You know, has he had a lot of high-stress pitches, which probably has a bigger effect than just the actual pitch count. You know, I mean, if a pitcher is out there working and working and he's struggling every inning, then maybe the 100 means something. But, I mean, if he's kind of cruising along and he's only hit a little bit of trouble or he's only walked a couple guys and he hits that 100, why does he have to come out? So I don't get that at all. So, but here you go, Dan. Here's another funny segue into a story that I actually had to literally stop reading it because I was laughing so hard. The tagline for it here is, could Red Sox find a taker for Price? All right, now David Price still has 3 years and $96 million on his deal. Obviously, he's coming off an injury-shortened season where he wasn't very good. Dan, who's dumb enough to take that deal? The Angels? So they can get Garrett Cole to come in?
Excuse me?
You know, I mean, yeah, you broke up a little bit there, so I didn't really hear your answer. But do you have one team in mind that would legitimately be interested in taking 3 years and $96 million of David Price? I want to hunt up his stats here so we can see what we're talking about. Where are you? There he is. Yeah, last year. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say the Marlins? No.
but here you go, Dan. Last year he made 22 starts, 7-5 with a 4.28 ERA. He made all his starts the year before when they won the World Series. He made 30 starts. He was 16-7. But the year before that, he only made 11 starts. So two out of the last 3 years, he's been hurt. So, you know, not only are you looking at a guy who you'll owe boatloads of money to, but he's been injury prone two out of the last three seasons.
Well, and you know, wasn't it
here because they here? Well, you like this, Dan. The thing they try to sell you on, the injury wasn't elbow or shoulder related. It was his wrist. So it's not as big a deal because it wasn't elbow or shoulder related.
Well, I mean, don't you use the wrist in any other pitch besides the fastball?
You use the wrist in every pitch, no matter what it is,
wow.
Because even with the fastball, it's going to snap for you. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Outing.
So,
well,
yeah,
you know,
I don't understand how that's not a big deal.
Because he didn't go see Dr. Andrews down in Atlanta, right? If you go there,
yeah.
You're in big
trouble. I get that. You know, it's the Red Sox, so the mainstream media needs them to be good, and they're trying to find ways to get them good. But really, their only hope this offseason is getting J.D. Martinez to opt out. You know, and even with Martinez opting out, my guess is Jackie Bradley is playing someplace else next year. But if Martinez doesn't opt out, you're looking at Jackie Bradley and Mookie Betts. probably playing someplace else next year. So it's a sad road for the Red Sox. It really is.
Yeah, well, you know, my first point was, you know, and I can't remember exactly what year it was when he came over. I thought it was 2013, but I could be wrong. You said the year they won the World Series was 13, but they also won it last year. So I don't remember the exact year Price came over. I just remember that he came from Toronto. But either way, I think everyone, including I, thought it was a pretty solid deal for the Red Sox to make. We were still, I know you and I still had the concerns about whether they made it to the postseason, if he could actually perform, since he hadn't been able to previously. But the other thing, you know, you brought up Jackie Bradley, and I mean, we never know what rumors are true and what aren't, obviously, because that's why it's called a rumor. But the rumor was the Cubs were interested in Jackie Bradley Jr. The way this season was going, and, you know, obviously if you're in the front office, you know what's going to happen at the end of the season, regardless of how the team performs. Do you think it was their failure to not really look into moving him to the Cubs stay this past season, even if you really didn't get much out of it, except for dropping some payroll?
Yeah, you know, I think the difficult part with it is, you know, as much as everybody seems to be kind of on this Jackie Bradley bandwagon, you're not really getting anything but a Gold Glove defender. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he hit .225 last year and struck out 155 times.
Yeah, well, no, my point being, though, is if they had the opportunity, do you think that they wasted it not moving him when they could?
Yeah. You know, I believe it was not last year, but the offseason between 17 and 18 was when the Cubs were really kind of hot for him. And, you know, they wanted to bring him in. And I believe there may have even been some serious conversation. And for whatever reason, you know, it didn't happen. And, I think Boston missed the boat because they may have gotten some value then. But now, I mean, what are you giving up for a .236 career hitter, Dan? And we're talking 7 years. Now, it's not just a few years here and there. He's been in the majors 7 years.
Oh, I thought you meant he had seven years on a contract.
No. He's an arbitration. Yeah, he's an arbitration guy. So, but, yeah, I mean.
You know, unless you're a team, honestly, like you said, looking for defense to kind of hole up that center field. You know, the biggest problem with his situation, though, is the fact that there's still this belief that American League 1 through 9, National League 1 through 8, that you're going to have 8-9 power hitters through your lineup, that you don't need a guy who's going to get on base or do anything that was baseball-related except for try to hit home runs. And I think that's part of the problem, is that his batting average is low because they're not trying to teach a guy like him, groom him to actually be a hitter as opposed to a slugger. And I mean, let's be honest, there's a huge difference. And maybe that's where the term professional hitter comes in, because, well, these guys aren't really playing to be professional hitters anymore. They're just playing to be sluggers.
Yeah, you know, and there may be some fits for him. You know, I mean, like, I could see teams like the Braves or the Mets possibly taking a chance on him. You know, because that's, the Braves' kind of one big weakness. I mean, they picked up your guy Billy Hamilton just because they needed a really good defensive center fielder. You know, Jackie Bradley's better than Billy Hamilton.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're, you know, so may, you know, they're may, but again, even with the market there, you know, I don't know what you're going to get. I mean, you're probably going to get a lower level prospect or two. So, you know, cause in reality, you're only getting Bradley for the 1 year. He's a free agent the year after that. And, you know, just your luck, he's a Scott Boras client. So Boras is going to parade around with a booklet of stuff about what great defensive metrics he has and leave out the fact that he's a career 236 hitter. So, but yeah, I honestly think that, you know, Red Sox fans should just go to bed at night and pray that JD Martinez decides he's going to opt out because he's better than the $62.5 million he's got, you know, left on his 3-year contract. So, you know, otherwise I just, you know, it's going to kind of get ugly there with what they're going to, you know, what they're going to have to do and the way they're going to have to break down that team. So we shall see. So, but here's an interesting one for you, Dan. And I guess it's kind of surprising. Like, you know, we mentioned the Dodgers a little earlier because they basically left them out of the Gerrit Cole talk, but, they apparently think that the Dodgers are going to be quite interested in Anthony Rendon when he hits the free agent market this season. Now, obviously we know he's got a really good shot at being National League MVP. You know, and the Reds, the Nationals have already offered him, you know, basically a $30 million a year deal. Oddly, the fun part is Justin Turner still has one more year on his contract, but I don't think it would really be that big of a deal for Turner to move over and take over as the full-time first baseman. You know, he's been a utility guy before, so I don't think that would be a big issue there. Do you like the Dodgers pursuing Rendon? Do you think that could be a big time move for them? Oh no, did I kill Dan? It shouldn't be break time. We should be past break time. So, but yeah, that was, you know, that was one of those things I just thought was kind of you know, what I would call it kind of a surprise. It's not what you would be, you know, expecting to see, you know, the Dodgers interested in. Cause Turner ended up having a really solid year for them. And I believe for the most part, he avoided injury. I want to double check and see how many games he played as we're going here. And, you know, obviously with the loss in the division series, they're going to want to shake things up a little bit, but, Turner played in 135 games. He hit .290 with 27 homers and 67 RBI. I know the RBI total was a little down, but you got to remember Bellinger had a huge amount, and so did Max Muncy. And I believe Turner spent some time in the two-hole where we know the RBIs aren't really a plenty. Just ask good old Chris Bryant. But, yeah, it could be a heck of a shift if, you know, the Dodgers plugged Rendon in at third. You're third. You move Turner over to first. You know, Muncy can play second base. So yeah, you could be looking at a pretty interesting alignment there for things as they go.
Well, and then you could pretty much secure Bellinger in center field.
Right. So, you know, you figure you got Bellinger. Well, maybe Bellinger right, like in center if Pollock stays healthy, or maybe you flip flop him depending on how you want to look at it. And then, you know, you got Jock Peterson or one of the other younger guys out in the left. I know, you know, Matt Bates played well for them. You know, I think the only thing that could kind of slow down, but it would only be by a year, would be Gavin Lux. You know, because he's a second baseman, but he's only 21, and I don't think one more full year in the minors will kill him. So.
No, I. The million-dollar question, though, if they're able to land Rendon, who's the odd man out? Where does Kiki play?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll never understand. You know, Kiki is your legitimate utility guy who spells guys and gives them days off. You know, he should never be playing full time. I mean, I know he got hot for a little while, and when guys get hot, you run them out there. In reality, Chris Taylor had a better year than Kiki did last year.
Yeah,
but. They he's their Ben Zobrist, and they love him, and, you know, they want to find ways to stuff him in the lineup, but he hit a whopping 237 last year.
Do you feel like his role has, not in the eyes of the Dodgers or whatever, but do you feel like his role as a whole has diminished to where he's not going to be as valuable coming next season?
You know, it's almost sad, but you've got to think that might be the best thing for the Dodgers. You know, I mean, nothing against Kiki, but, you know, we're looking at these guys, you know, like I mentioned Matt Beattie, you know, Gavin Lux, you know, these guys are going to start coming through the system. You know, the Alec Verdugos, who's only 23, you know, and sooner or later, you know, I mean, I get it. Kiki's only 27. He's got a good history there. But, you know, it didn't work this year. They didn't, it, you know, while they got to the World Series, they didn't win it. So, you know, you've got to make, even if it's just small changes, would it be terrible if Kiki moved on and Chris Taylor was the lone utility guy?
No, it wouldn't.
So.
But speaking of LA.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, I'll let you finish your thought, and then I'll go into my LA segue.
Go ahead.
Speaking of LA, I don't know if you caught the news today. I was going through my Y-Mail, which is a Yahoo linked account. And I didn't read the article because I was trying to put together the Yahoo. FanDuel hockey lineup that you sent me, the free one. So I don't know. I've been having issues because for whatever reason, when I click the email, it takes me to the website. But when I take it on the website on my phone, it's harder to pick your lineup than it is to do it in the app. But if I hit the button that takes me to the app, it's doesn't go to the game. So whatever, I had to make up a crap lineup, save it, and then go to the app to redo it all. That's fun, right, Big Jack? Anyways,
yeah.
The first article I seen from Yahoo today was LeBron is receiving backlash from China. And his, like, I guess some of his ventures are kind of tumbling. Did you look into that or see a little bit about that? Or, I mean, are you confused as I am? Because I thought maybe he wasn't speaking out against China, but is it the people that are mad? Or because you said the government was like, okay, I don't know.
Yeah, what a you know, like, I didn't see that one. I know what he did was he pissed off the protesters, which
mm-hmm.
are the people who spend the money, I believe, right?
Yeah, that is true.
So. You know, he may have just, you know, again, he should have just kept his mouth shut. You know, there was no reason to make any comment at all, but he decided that he was, you know, he was bigger than the whole spectrum of it. And, you know, he jumped on there, and yeah, it looks like he might pay a bit of a financial price for it.
I don't know. And to kind of follow up, do you think this will be the event where he opened his mouth, where maybe he finally gets it after the last couple of years to do what he does best, and that's play basketball? There's a reason you and I don't discuss politics on here.
So I...
You don't think so?
You know, it's so tough to tell with these guys, so I don't...
Well, he's like the only
No, I'm trying to think. I think there was somebody else who said something. Or was there?
Well,
I don't remember. I thought I had heard somebody.
Well, and I don't mean specifically China, but, you know, this is kind of the second slap that LeBron got when he voiced his opinion about something that wasn't NBA related. I mean, technically, this kind of was because of the Houston Rockets guy tweeting out there, so he's putting his 2 cents in. But you remember when he made the comment about the NFL, what was it like, I don't know if it was the next day or within the week, he had to turn around and apologize and, you know, basically admit that he was misinformed. And here he jumps on this wagon to, you know, I believe his intentions were to try to calm the situation and sort of like that. But, you know, obviously it's actually made it worse for himself. And I mean, to be honest, I think it's not him, but I think it's kind of funny, but kind of ridiculous that we don't live in that communistic country. Yet, if anyone here speaks out about it, or even like I think Christian Dior's company mentioned something, and it's you receive such negative backlash. So it's just interesting how their politics are affecting the world. So, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I will be interested. I'm wondering if maybe LeBron got a little full of himself, because the last couple times he spoke out, everybody was behind him. And it was like, oh, yeah, you know, rah, rah, yay, yay, here we go. You know, you're the greatest. It's fantastic you did this. And, you know, and now this time it's kind of like, whoa, slow your roll there, buddy. You know, you don't exactly know what you're talking about this time. So, you know, it could be a little of that, because, you know, like he supported, you know, college players being paid, and everybody loved that idea. And then there was one more. I forgot what the thing he was supporting before that everybody was behind. And this was the first one that, you know, he's been on that everybody hasn't been behind. You know, and I mean, it also didn't help that he came off as really poorly
arrogant.
Spoken in that interview. Yeah, he did a really poor job there. You know, like I said, apparently the pay-to-read article on The Athletic is much better. But this, you know, the interview, like I've seen the interview multiple times, and yeah, he comes off terrible. So we'll, you know, we'll see. But yeah, maybe he'll be quiet. I'm going to be quiet. Dan's going to be quiet.
Sportsnet Radio.